Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, to a more serious matter, many people who end up in prison have mental health problems, and all too often, nothing is done to help them. Later this week, members of the Irish Penal Reform Trust will travel to Geneva to give evidence to a UN committee. We're joined now by Acting Executive Director of the IPRT, Fiona Nicchieri. Good afternoon, Fiona. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
So, it's the Torture Commission.
Yeah, absolutely. The UN Committee Against Torture, and they do exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
They ensure the protection against and the prevention of torture and inhuman and degrading treatment or punishment in all places where people are deprived of their liberty. Now, we automatically think of prisons and Garda stations, but it also includes children in secure care facilities, children detention schools, and psychiatric institutions. So it's fairly broad.
Right. Okay. So if when someone starts a prison sentence, is a psychiatric assessment done on them as a matter of course?
There is an assessment on committal. I mean, there are a number of issues here. There are many points of intervention that should start long before that. The first one is the first contact with the Gardaí. And at that point, they should be diverting people away. Second point is at the courts, where the courts should have more options to divert people away from the prison system. And then for those people who do arrive in the prison system, you need assessment on committal. These assessments certainly take place in many of the prisons. There's a very good programme called PICLES, the Prison In-Reach and Court Liaison System in Clover Hill, for example, where people are assessed and diverted. But the problem is there aren't enough places then to divert people on away from the prison system. So there are an estimated 20 to 30 men in particular at any time in Clover Hill Prison who have been diagnosed as in need of acute psychiatric care and for transfer to the Central Mental Hospital. And there are no places, there are no transfers, long waiting lists, and detaining them continues to detain them in the prison places the prisoners themselves at risk, their fellow prisoners at risk, and also prison staff who shouldn't have to deal with these issues.
So inevitably then, in that set of circumstances, they end up in, well, maybe not inevitably, but there's a tendency towards them ending up in solitary confinement for everyone's safety.
It's an enormous concern, I have to say, and certainly that the challenges, we don't underestimate the challenges faced by prison staff and the prison service in that regard. People with mental health issues are more likely to display challenging behaviours, and the response to that, the simplest response to that may be to lock them up for 22 or 23 hours a day, but we know this exacerbates the issues. No good can come from it, and it is a huge problem. So all you're doing is exacerbating the issues and making people worse. And we're just mindful that, so the concern is primarily for the prisoner, his or herself, you know, and beyond that for the staff and prisoners around them. But ultimately, people are going to be released back into the community further down the line. So we should all be concerned about this.
Presumably if someone spends a period of time in prison, they already have mental health problems and they've been in solitary confinement, they're going to come out considerably worse than they went in.
Yeah, I mean, we're very concerned about that, very concerned about that. We have to acknowledge the Irish Prison Service has reduced the numbers. And so solitary confinement is defined as 22 or more hours locked up a day. Now, we would argue it's 24 hours if in effect, if you're let out to walk around a yard on your own because you're having no meaningful social human contact. But so the numbers have been reduced from about 211 mid-2013 to 44 now. But we are very concerned the maximum. So it is agreed and in international standards that nobody should be held on 22 or more lockup for more than 15 consecutive days. As beyond that, the negative effects on your mental health can be irreversible, which is a really serious word and idea. And what we know is here in Ireland, January 2016, of around 50 men who were in solitary confinement at the time, about 24 of them had been so held for more than 6 months and 9 of them have been so held for more than 1 year. And the longer you keep people in these conditions, the more difficult it is going to be to undo the damage.
Define for us what is in those conditions. What is solitary confinement? I assume it doesn't mean 24 hours a day in a cell, or does it?
There's an amendment. So Minister Charlie Flanagan signed in and changed the prison rules just a couple of weeks ago. So it is 2 hours. So now we have a minimum 2 hours out of cell time, during which the prison must provide an opportunity for meaningful social interaction. Now, it's a step in the right direction, but what does that mean? Does that mean five minutes having a chat with the prison guard? You know, the point is that we are sociable animals. There are some people for whom, you know, not to be flippant about it, but it worked for Leonard Cohen, you know, and it worked for Luke Skywalker. But generally, we are human. You know, we have social interactions.
Oh, no, I mean, it's torture not to talk to somebody for 20 hours a day.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's known. So it's very serious mental health issues arise in these incidents. You're talking about paranoia, panic attacks. Mm. I mean, there's a range of these. And again, these become entrenched. And what should be also of concern, and the Professor Craig Haney, who worked on the original Stanford prison experiment back in the 70s, he's very vocal that the people who appear to be coping best are likely to be coping the worst, because they don't even realise the damage that's being done to them. So what we would say is we need to use, first of all, abolish solitary confinement for people with mental health issues in all cases. Secondly, that people should be detained in such conditions for the minimum amount of time possible, and the focus should always be on returning people to the general prison population, be it via a particular unit or a transition. And then a further concern is that people might be who have been deemed as under threat from the whole prison population might be released from those conditions directly back into the community, which is certainly not going to be good for the person themselves, but may put other people at risk.
Mm. Now, to go back earlier in the process again, if someone's arrested, they haven't even been convicted of anything yet, and there's a suspicion that there's a mental health problem, is it within the gift of the Gardaí to not direct them into the court system, but to direct them into the mental health system instead? And similarly, is it in the gift of the courts to do the same thing?
Yeah.
Or do they have to send them to prison?
No, I think, you know, within this, so with the Gardaí, everything is a proportion. I mean, you know, the gravity of the offence that has been committed has to be considered, of course. But for low-level offending, of course, there are always different options that could be taken. I mean, we know that prisoners who are serving short-term sentences in prison are more likely to have mental health issues, addiction issues, be homeless, you know. And oftentimes people end up in prison because there's literally nowhere else to direct them. And they are committing low-level repeat offending, which is hugely problematic. So what we need instead, and what the government of, or what the former Justice Committee said, we need things like, you know, alternative solutions like community courts, for example, where a person avoids a conviction completely, but they're kind of plugged into a system. It's called one-stop shop. So instead of receiving a conviction, you're diverted towards addiction services or mental health services or whatever might be most appropriate. Now, it's expensive to set up, but we would argue in the long term it's going to save the taxpayer dividends, because we must be mindful. It costs upwards from 70,000 a year to detain a person in prison. It is not a cost neutral response, and that money could be better invested in community mental health and other places.
If someone's in prison though, and there has that diagnosis is there, who's in charge of them? Is it still the prison service? Does it automatically revert to the HSE if somebody needs treatment?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, prison health is currently run by the Irish Prison Service, the Inspector of Prisons, and I believe the Irish Prison Service themselves, and international best practice is that, in fact, the National Health Service should be in charge of prison health. I mean, this is international best practice. Everyone agrees. We need joined up thinking. We need whole of government approach. We need the Department of Health talking to the Department of Justice and the HSE stepping up and be willing to take it on. And we also need to see HICWA going in to inspect, because at the moment we have no external with the expertise, health expertise in terms of inspections of prison health. But a problem with prison health falling within the Irish Prison Service or any national prison service is that security concerns can trump medical needs on occasion, and that is just wrong. We know from an investigation to a prisoner death in Mountjoy Prison in 2013, where a prisoner was assessed by medical staff there of a need of urgent transfer to the Mater A&E, and he wasn't transferred over a consequent 36 hours and subsequently passed away. And the inspector was very clear, medical needs, and that should trump operational security needs, and it didn't happen, and a life was lost. It was definitely a contributing factor. So these are the concerns, and these are what we want to see addressed.
Yeah. Now, on the side of the HSE, is there existing a facility or enough room in a facility to take prisoners who might be violent. Therefore, there's a security concern there, but need this kind of treatment. Can they take them at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, that is the problem, you know, and we absolutely acknowledge the Irish Prison Service is dealing with issues that it should not have to do. You know, it's a lack of community-based supports and also residential care facilities. So the Central Mental Hospital has, I believe, a capacity of about 94. There are 10 extra beds that were supposed to open, haven't opened yet. The focus should be on transferring people to the Central Mental Hospital, and as all hospitals should approach it, kind of making people well enough again to return them to where they were before. And we need to see that happening. Now, there's a new Central Mental Hospital that's being built. I think the sod was only just turned now this April, and they've been talking about it for more than 10 years, up in the site of St. Edith's in Portrane. I don't know what the timescale for delivery of that is now, but it's a huge concern. But it's not only about secure facilities. Yes, we definitely need an increase in those numbers. As I said, 20 to 30 people at any time in the prison system are waiting to transfer. But there are also all the other just regular psychiatric facilities in the community for the low-level offenders, because they don't need to go to the Central Mental Hospital.
But it sounds more like this is the overspill of the crisis within the HSE in general, rather than it's necessarily a crisis within the prison system. Absolutely. Though the prison system's feeling the effect of it.
It really is, you know, and we'd be very concerned, you know, because, I mean, at the other end, there are insufficient psychiatry and psychology services in the prison system. You know, there's a report called the Porporino Report that set out exactly what resources need to be there. They're not there yet. They're definitely on the right way. But we don't want to, you know, the point is that people with serious mental health issues should not be in prison. You know, so there's only so far we want to go with investing for the services for those that it is appropriate for them to be. But there is certainly a link between the closure of psychiatric institutions in Ireland and the increase of people with mental health issues in the prison system. And, you know, the reading is that they closed all the big old mental hospitals, if you will, but they didn't provide any other community-based alternative. So it's like we overshot in that. And the Psychiatric Nurses Association have been very direct about that. I mean, they talk about the incarceration of so many mentally ill in our prisons, and they describe it as shameful and intolerable in a civilised society. And that's the Psychiatric Nurses Association.
By going to the UN Committee on Torture, which makes, I suppose, underlines how grim it is, well, politically, what kind of effect does that have? Is this a form, if you like, of moral pressure back on our own government?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, our experience and that of many actors in civil society is that it is a very useful lever with a state that prides itself on its human rights record. So we go to Geneva and we say, well, yes and no. And we went in 2011 along with other groups at that time. So our focus is to get the best, strongest recommendations to the Irish government to act on the most serious issues. In 2011, our focus was, at the time, there were 1,000 men slopping out in prisons in Ireland. Today, there are about 50. It's 50 too many. But that is, that, you know, you have to acknowledge progress where it has been. Another key issue then was overcrowding, where we had, you know, people sleeping on mattresses, on floors, and that contributes to violence and drugs in prison. It makes everybody unsafe, including the staff, conditions for staff. So that is, well, they could go further, but certainly the numbers have been safely reduced. And the other big issue was the removal of children from St. Patrick's Institution, you know, which was a facility that was unfit for anyone, but definitely not children. So in 2011, the UN committee told the Irish government, you have to stop this. You have to remove children from the adult prison system, in line with other, like the Convention on the Rights of the Child. So it isn't only just about the Convention Against Torture. And again, you know, credit where it's due. That was achieved this year. So St. Patrick's Institution was closed on officially on the 7th of April this year. Okay, it was renamed and became Mountjoy West. Yes. But, you know, but at the same time, there are no children there anymore. And there, you know, we'd be mindful that there are five boys in Wheatfield still, but by October this year, Ireland will no longer have children in the adult prison system. So that is success.
Progress can be made. Thanks, Amelia, for coming into us today. That's Fionnuala Kinnaird there, Acting Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust. We're going to take a break. After that, Leftfield performs Leftism.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.